welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Westerns in this hour. Later on, it's Have Gun Will Travel from 1960. But first, a broadcast of Hawk Larrabee called The Pilgrim, a CBS episode from December 28, 1948.
The Hawk is on the wing.
Come along, folks, and listen to his Hawk Larrabee with a tell-tale commentary. Yippee-yippee-yay-yippee-yay.
The Hawk whistle signals another exciting episode in the story of Hawk Larrabee, starring Elliot Lewis with Martin Yarborough and the Plainsman, and produced and directed by William N. Robson.
There'll be trouble in Silver Bow so long as Utah Brannigan's allowed a free rein, brothers. And I'm taking the only way I know to stop it.
Hawk, are you plumb out of your mind? Brannigan's tough as mesquite, and he's smart, too. This player of yours is leading right smack into his trump card.
Maybe so, brothers, but my mind's made up. Come on, let's ride.
Yes, the Hawk is on the wing, and Hawk Larrabee's riding high in the saddle.
We're in for excitement, so why don't you stay? This Larrabee feller has plenty to say.
There's one thing sure about life on a cowpen ranch like mine up on Black Mesa. You get to know hard work by its first name. And rest is just a stranger you talk about but seldom meet face to face. The day after Christmas, my partner Brazos John and I were out with a small trail herd, and we were feeling kind of frisky because of the full day's rest we'd just had.
Hey, Hawk, that was a darn nice Christmas present you picked out for me.
You mean those 24 golden hours spent strictly horizontal?
Yeah, That's what I picked out for you, too.
Oh, that's no good. That means our presents canceled each other out. So let's get on to Carson Spur.
Yeah. Well, ain't nothing else to do, I guess. Come on.
That's it, brothers. We'll rest again next year.
Oh, fine.
Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little doggies. It's your misfortune and man of my own.
My partner, Brazos John, and I had rested all Christmas Day. Now, when you work a small cowpen ranch like the one I have on Black Mesa, losing 24 hours that way can set you back. That's why we were working hard and fast to get a trail herd on the way to Carson Spur now that the Christmas holidays were over. We were waiting for our cattle to freshen up at a waterhole when Big Jim McMasters reined up alongside us in a shiny new buckboard. He was in a good mood, displaying a side of his nature that Brazos and I always figured he kept reserved for big brand ranchers like himself.
Good morning, Larrabee. Brazos John.
Oh, morning.
Mind if my team horns in for a drink?
Oh, of course not, McMasters.
Now, if them fancy harness horses of yours don't mind socializing with common ordinary cowpen stock.
Now, I'm trying to be nice, Brazos. Why not?
Brazos always didn't mean any offense. Just that you got a smart-looking brace of horses there. You're picking up a guest at the station, McMasters?
In a way. The new Parsons due in from Denver. My church opens Sunday, you know.
Sunday? I heard tell all your lumber was burned before you started to build. You must have got a new load in mighty fast.
I didn't have time to get new lumber, Larrabee. You see, I made a promise to open a church in Silver Bow around Christmas. So I had to buy Cass Chadwick's old feed and grain building and have it remodeled. Temporary measure, you know.
You never did find out who it was that set fire to that there lumber, did you, McMaster?
That fire was an accident, Brazos. Nobody in Silver Bow would try to stop me from opening a church.
Not even a man who made his living running a saloon and gambling house?
You mean Utah Brannigan? Nonsense. Why, he even contributed the services of one of his men to work on the remodeling job.
That's all? Right nice of him, I'd say.
Yes, well, I'll be pushing along now. See you again soon.
Say, Sunday? In church?
Well, you see, my denomination.
Well, that's all right, McMaster. Brazos and I don't favor any special church anyway.
Then why did you make a point of it?
I suppose it's none of my business. Guess I've just been thinking about a new church in Silver Bow. And most of the folks on the outside looking in.
They'll get their own churches someday. Besides, who ever heard of mixing religious groups?
I don't rightly know, McMaster. Your church, you can do as you like.
Certainly, it's my church, and I will do as I like. And let me remind you again about prying into my affairs, Hawk Larrabee. I won't stand for it, you hear?
Come on, come on. Hey, don't look now, McMasters, but your reins are swift.
And I'd like you to mind your own business, too, Brother Strong.
You know something? You'll drive like that all the way to Carson Spur before you admit I was right. But which reminds me, Hawk, we better get this year's trailer to move it.
Brothers, we're riding over to look over that church right away.
But, Hawk, this beef is ready to be loaded.
It can wait, brother. One of Brannigan's men has been working on that church. That might mean trouble.
Maybe so, but I'm all for letting Big Jim McMasters roll his own hoop.
So am I. But it's Brannigan I'm thinking about. He won't give up till he's dead certain there'll be no church of any kind in Silver Bow. If he's been up to any more tricks, the quicker we find out about it, the better.
Well, now you put it that way, Hawk. I'm for turning the herd right around and getting out to that church. Bono,
get up.
After Brazos and I penned up our cattle at the ranch, we changed horses and headed for the church. A brisk wind started to blow when we rode through Silver Bow. By the time we reined up at the remodeled seed and grain building, it was blowing good and hard.
Well, the place looks all right from what I can see, Hawk. What you reckon this man of Brannigan's could have done?
I don't know, brother. Let's have a look around inside.
Well, just a minute, Hawk. I've got me a sneaking hunch that this old place ain't none too strong on its feet.
Yeah, I've been thinking the same thing, brother. Well, maybe it's just the way the wind sounds out here in the open.
Well, come on. Let's get it over with.
Inside, we saw that McMaster's had the place fixed up right proper. Neat rows of pews, pulpit, good ventilation. High up at the far end, a choir loft, complete with pump organ.
Hawk, I don't like this one darn bit. Just listen to that old wood creaking in the joint.
Yeah. Well, there won't be much around here. Let's have a look up in that organ loft.
Yeah. What's that?
Somebody's up there, brother.
Come on down here. I got you covered.
Run for your life, brother! Brothers and I got out in the nick of time. We turned and saw just a pile of splintered old wood on the ground. Somewhere under it was a man who called to us from the organ loft. He couldn't possibly have been alive under that avalanche, but brothers and I set to work, pulling and tossing wood.
Get this little... Hey, Hawk. Hawk, look down under here.
I saw a body stretched out under a crazy pattern of twisted beams. We lifted away more wood. Finally reached a point where we were ready to pull him out.
Hawk, look at there. I'll be dadgummed if there's even one single piece of lumber touching him.
You're right, brother. Those two crossed beams directly above him. It left him in a clear space underneath. He may be alive.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be a genuine miracle? Come on, let's get him out of there.
All right. In a few minutes, we had him clear of the wreckage. He was alive. Somehow even unharmed, but out cold.
Just look at him, Hawk. He ain't no more than 18 years old. Brannigan ain't particular how young he starts him off on a long trail.
He's not one of Brannigan's string, brothers.
Well, you so sure, Hawk? What was he doing all alone in a church? Practicing chopsticks on a pipe organ?
Yeah, hold it, bro. He's coming to.
What happened? My head.
Ah, you're all right, young fella. Had a mighty lucky escape. What were you doing in that church?
I've been working over to Crady's Wells for a house builder. Heard it was a job here on the church. I went inside and I was looking around. And, well, being acquainted with such things, I noticed where the cross beams looked weak.
Now, just take it easy now, sir.
Well, I climbed up in the organ loft, and you come in, and I got scared. Maybe I was trespassed.
What about the beams? See anything more?
And I sure did. Main support beam sobbed nearly through all the way.
So that's what Brannigan was up to. He'd do anything to keep a church from being built in Silver Bow.
Yeah. You sure are leading a charm life, son. What name you go by?
Oh, I've been drifting so long. Seems all I can remember being called a pilgrim. I guess that name suits me right enough.
All right, Pilgrim. Is that the way you want it?
Hey, Hawk, look young.
What?
Ain't that McMaster's galloping this way? Is that Parson with him?
That's McMaster's, all right, brother. But that's no Parson with him. Police Cop Smith, the marshal.
Marshal? Well, what in turn do you reckon?
Something's up, brother.
What are you?
What happened, Hawk?
Collapsed in the high wind, Bleaked Up. Main support beams were sawed through. Deliberate.
That's right. Saw went up. Larry, you did this. You didn't want my church to...
Now, just hold on. We ain't been near your church just a while ago, and we didn't touch
it. I'd think it over before accusing Hawk and Brazos of a thing like this, McMasters.
It's part of a complete plan. First burning my lumber, then doing away with the parson.
Wait a minute. You went to Carson Spur to pick up the parson yourself, didn't you?
Don't play innocent with me, Larry. The parson never got off the train, and you know why.
You know anything about this, Bleaked Up?
Only that McMasters came tearing into my office to tell me about it, Hawk. I figured maybe there was some mistake. Maybe the parson came in by coach and thought he was to meet McMaster's at the church. So he came down.
But he's not here, Bleakup. And I demand that you make an arrest.
I think we'd be better off talking this thing over first in my office.
It's a good idea, Bleakup. I suggest you get Utah Brannigan in on the conversation, too.
Brannigan? What's he got to do with it?
Plenty, to my way of thinking.
Larry's just trying to shift the blame to an innocent man, Marshal.
Now, you know Hawk ain't that kind, McMasters. I'll call in Brannigan. Be at my office in a half hour. Come on, McMaster.
You'll pay for this, Larry.
Well, I'll call him. McMasters really thinks that we done it.
Oh, he's just on the plot on account of not being able to play the big man at a church opening Sunday. Now, it's Brannigan we've got to worry about.
Yeah, but trying to hang anything on him just like trying to hang a nightshirt onto a cloud.
Maybe I could help. I saw where the beans were cut.
Yeah, I nearly forgot about you, sir.
Oh, thanks, Pilgrim. That wouldn't prove it was Brannigan who'd done it. You feel up to a ride back to my ranch on Black Mesa?
Well, sure, but I'd rather stay with you and see how this comes out.
No, you just do like Hawk says, huh? Get on over to the ranch and curl up in a warm corner. You've earned it.
When Brazos and I walked into the marshal's office, Brannigan was already there with Bleaktop and McMasters.
I told Brannigan here what's happened, Hawk. You're accusing him. Lay your cards on the table.
I'm still building my hand, Bleaktop. But meantime, I got two aces to show. One, Brannigan is the only one who stands to lose money. Maybe every cent he's got if a church gets started in Silver Ball. Two, my dad told me before he died that Utah Brannigan was run out of Modoc City by the church back there. And that Brannigan swore he'd never leave himself open to the same risk again.
Now, look, Larrabee. I admit a church would cut into my business, but I wouldn't stake myself out against it, especially the rough way it's being done. A gold bar house will get by, church or no church.
Well, that's a fine-sounding line of chin music.
I haven't finished yet, Larrabee. I was run out of Modoc City, yeah. Well, by a rival gambling outfit, not by the church.
Well, you just a lying skunk. I done some riding down Modoc City way myself, and the fact is like Hawk's papa told him.
And I'll get my proof, Brannigan. A man who's yellow enough to hire pack rats to do his dirty work will be yellow enough to get down on his knees when the going gets rough and talk to save his neck.
Well, don't forget, you were the one seen at the church this afternoon, Larrabee. And maybe trying to put it on me proves you're the one who's yelling.
Not in my office, Larrabee. Get your hands off him. You put that gun away, Brazos, John.
Well, we're getting no place fast around here. I can see that.
Well, somebody's got to pay for what's been done. Somebody's guilty.
Yeah, you're right, McMasters. I think I can clear the air, at least so far as I'm concerned. Here you are, Larrabee. I'm handing you $5,000 in cash. Go on, take it.
Keep talking, Brannigan.
Well, I ain't patient like Hawk. Give me that dinero. Now you can proceed with the details, Brannigan.
Well, that's hardly the church spirit grabbing like that, Brazos. I was about to say I'm giving that money to Larrabee as trustee to build the finest church in the West right here in Silver Bow. That ought to make my position clear, Marshal.
Trying to buy off cheap, Brannigan. I didn't hear anything about your agreeing to stop working undercover against the church.
I'll assume that, Hawk. You see that there's a church built, and when it is, I'll consider the whole case closed. Fair enough?
That sounds fair enough to me. Well, I gotta hurry back to my place. Adios, gentlemen.
It was getting dark by the time Brazos and I started back for the ranch. We took the trail at an easy lope. Didn't talk much. I could tell Brazos was bristling inside over being sucked in by Utah Brannigan's play. Well, we figured we'd get a night's rest. Start planning our next step in the morning. From the looks of the ranch house, when we reached the front door, it seemed the Pilgrim had already turned in. Put on a light, will you, Brazos?
There we are, Utah. You're colored this way.
What's your brother?
Why, ain't nobody getting away with this kind of shenanigans. Come on, boys!
Well, I guess that takes care of everything, boys. Let's go.
I came to, the lamp was on. Brazos was kneeling over
there. Hey, Hawk. Hawk, you done it.
What, brother?
The $5,000, it's gone.
Don't go away, partner, we're telling you why. There's more to this story than meets with the eye.
Hawk Larrabee will return in just a moment.
If you like a lot of room around the roaming, for any place you stop, your heart's a moaning. If you like to see a campfire in the gloaming, there's an open range ahead. If you like the sound of lazy cattle lowing, 4 miles of sage and tumbleweeds are growing, Then it's time you knew the only place you're going is an open range ahead. Up in the sky, keep the bright sun shining. Out of the west, let a clean wind blow. Here in your heart, there'll be no more pining for somewhere else to go. If you like to hear the prairie wind a-wailing and watch the snowy clouds above a-sailing, you can bet your life your heart will soon be trailing to an open range ahead. There's an open range ahead.
Now back to Hawk Larrabee. Well, I knew now why Utah Brannigan scooted out of the marshal's office so fast. To get that string of pack rats out to the ranch ahead of Brazos and me. We found the pilgrim where the bad bunch left him, tied up and gagged in the back bedroom. And when we set him free and told him everything that happened, the kid got so hepped up about the whole church situation that he was fit to be tied all over again. It seemed he wanted to see a church in Silver Bow more than anything in the world. Brazos couldn't quite savvy why.
I'll be doggone if this ain't a strange kid, Hawk. Person I ever seen of his age ready to bust a leg running to church.
Maybe from a religious family, brother. Is that right, Pilgrim?
No. Fact is, I don't rightly know who my folks were. Just born with their liking for the gospel, I reckon.
Hmm? You aiming to be a parson someday, Pilgrim?
Yeah, if I ever get to learning, I'd like to be a parson in a one church town. Which I wouldn't give a hang to preaching no other kind. Because, well, there I could sort of bring folks together. Under one roof. Oh, maybe there'd be some who'd object to mixing faith. But I can't see anything wrong in folks getting on together and living peaceful.
Pilgrim, you'll have your church someday. I hope it's right here in Silver Bow.
Yeah. Darn if I ain't got me a notion to maybe sometime to come and listen to you preach. This ain't getting us down to Marshall's and telling him what happened to that 5,000, though.
Well, telling the marshal it'd only be the same story all over again. No proof Brannigan did it.
Well, the pilgrim's right, Buzzus. You and I are paying a little call on Mr. Brannigan first. I got a hunch this time we're coming out winners.
I was hoping for a good fight with the lights on to make up for that bushwhack. This low, son. So, what do you think you're going through?
With you and Hawk.
Oh, no, you ain't. More than likely be led in there. You had your share of trouble for today.
But you sent me away this afternoon, and it didn't save me from getting pushed around.
Guess you can't beat that argument, brother.
I guess not.
Grab a gun off that rack, Pilgrim. There's cartridges in the drawer.
Shucks, I couldn't hit the floor with my hat in three throws. I guess I'll pass up the gun, but I'm sure going along.
The old bar house was going full blast when Brazos and the Pilgrim and I pushed through the swinging doors. Utah Brannigan was riding a herd on a roulette wheel, looking for all the world like a buzzard sitting on a cottonwood limb.
Hello, Larrabee. Try your luck.
Gambling's not what I came here for, Brannigan, but you give me an idea.
Oh, no, how? Oh.
The customer wants to pay off an IOU over at the bar.
All right. Excuse me, Larrabee. I'll be right back.
Hawk, are you plumb out of your mind or something? Play that wheel in public and you lay it smack in Brannigan's lap to claim you lost the 5,000 church money of gambling.
I know, brother. I just decided to ride a peculiar hunt.
Oh, but the odds is higher than a hound's back against you, you cave head.
Hold it, Brazos. Brannigan's coming.
Well, Larrabee, made up your mind yet?
Because I know how happy it'll make you, yes. I'm piking $10 on the... Whenever you like, Pilgrim.
Me? Jasper's risking $10?
No, it ain't no risk, son. It's just a mortal low-down sink in favor of the house.
You know, Brazos is right. What number do you like, son?
Oh, well, the nine.
Uh-huh. $10 on the nine. All right, round she goes. Or she stops, nobody knows. Well, nine red, odd low, third column, per 12. There you are, Larrabee.
$350.
Oh, you ain't gonna have it long, Pilgrim. This is just a come-on. You
let it ride on the nine, Brannigan.
You can't pyramid your bets, Larrabee. You have to pinch you down to the $10 limit, my friend.
All right.
The nine, it's a repeater. Well, I'm a wall-eyed toad
crow. I'll take another 10 on the same number, Brannigan.
Your luck's due for a change. How about moving you bet, huh?
Yeah. Hawk got you going south, Brannigan?
No, not at all, Brazos. He won't win on the nine three times and running. I'll tell you what I'll do. From here on in, the roof's off.
Tell you what I'll do. You can place my bet for me.
Be glad to oblige. And let's see. 300 on the double O. Here she goes.
I never seen so much money, Brian.
Well, just keep your fingers crossed and hope to see a lot more in that wheel stop.
There she is, a double O.J. 35-1. Man, old man.
Well, by now I was sure my hunch about the Pilgrim was right. After a while, the money that was piled up in front of me looked like enough to buy Texas. Brannigan's face was as white as a miller's. The Pilgrim stood there with his mouth hanging open like a kid seeing things at night. Brazos just scratched his head and grinned.
Mm-hmm. Brannigan, I've seen fellas dead for 2 weeks that look better than you look right now. Is there something annoying you, my friend?
No, nothing at all, Brazos. I'm a gambler. I'll tell you what I'll do, Larrabee. I'll spin you for double or nothing.
And keep on spinning till you win, mate.
Sorry, Brannigan. I'm through for the night.
Look, Larrabee, can't we talk this over in my office?
Sure. Wait for me here, Brazos. And keep an eye on the Pilgrim. All right, I'm doing the talking this time, Brannigan. Except for $5,000, you can have your money back.
If you let me get that church built. Sure, Larrabee. I never had any intention.
Stop play-acting. Your word is as good as a coyote's, and I know it. But I'm warning you. That church will be built, or you'll pay in blood.
Now, look, I don't like...
Something else I want. The use of the gambling room out there for church services tomorrow.
Yeah, sure. I'm glad to let you have it, but there's no parson.
I got someone to conduct the services. He's young, but he preaches grown-up ideas. I figure he might start trying them out on Silver Bow. Now get out there and send everybody home. I want to fix the place up decent for services.
Oh, now, be reasonable. There's still playing time.
You heard me, Brannigan.
All right. But you're interfering with my business.
Well, Brannigan called off play for the night. He got plenty of beef from the losers in the all-night crowd. Brazos and the Pilgrim and I stood by in case of trouble. It came.
All right. Listen to me, everybody. The play's over, that's all.
You can't put me out, Brannigan. I'm 200 in the hole, and I'm staying till I win it back.
Maybe I have to show the gent to the door, just sociable like, huh?
Keep out of it, brother.
You keep out of here, Potter. I don't want any dirty sheepmen in my place anyway. Now get out and stay out.
Sure, Brannigan, I'll get out. You won't see me no more. You won't be seeing nothing no more.
Potter drew a long knife. His arm whipped back. Somebody dashed out to jump and caught the blade full in the chest. Brazos fired at his hip, and Potter felt like it was pushed. It all happened so fast, I didn't notice who it was stopped the knife. Now Brazos was kneeling over him.
Hey, Hawk, quick. Pilgrim. The fool kid.
He saved my life.
Yeah, Brannigan, you mangy rat.
He's dying, Hawk. Let's get him into the back room. Come on.
The Pilgrim was unconscious while we put him easy across a few chairs. Looked like a sure bet he wouldn't last the morning. But he hung on. Brazos and I sitting by him all night. When dawn came up, we realized that Brannigan had been there with us all the time.
You saved my life, Larrabee. Never saw such funk.
Brannigan, you ought to get down on your knees and beg to be taken instead of him.
You were right. Hey, you build your church. I won't interfere.
Get out of here, Brannigan. Start fixing up the place for the service.
All right, Larrabee.
Brazos left the room right after Brannigan. Tell everybody it's about the prayer meeting. I looked at the Pilgrim. His eyes were open.
Guess you stopped Brannigan, eh, Hawk?
You stopped him, young fella. Only way he could have been stopped, I guess.
Who's going to conduct prayer meeting today, Hawk?
You are, Pilgrim. Then, when you get feeling better, I'm sending you off to school to see... Pilgrim...
Thanks.
Oh. I stayed in the room till Brazos returned. Then he took me into the gambling hall to show me how the folks had turned out. The place was jam-packed with every man, woman, and child in Silver Bow, including Utah Brannigan, Big Jim McMasters. I climbed up on a faro table, looking at the makeshift poker. Talking isn't my long suit, as most of you folks know. But there is something I want to tell you. There's a man born to do something fine in his lifetime. For this town and its people. He died very young. But he accomplished his purpose. He made it certain. made it certain that a church will be built. Finest church in the West. Right here in Silver Bow. For all of you. So, so I think it's fitting that we devote this meeting to a prayer of thanks to the one who gave his life that a church might come to Silver Bow.
It's just 3 months now since we set him up here on Boot Hill, huh? Now Silver Bow's got a church. Got a church just like you'd be wanting to preach in yourself. Brothers?
Did it ever strike you that he gave more to a place he didn't even know than most men give to their hometowns in a whole lifetime?
Yeah, it's a heap of giving, if you ask me. We got some fence riding to do, huh?
Yeah, that's right, brother.
Adios, brother. We'll be back.
We circle around his way often, brother, tonight. We don't want him to think he's being forgotten.
It's a mighty wide loop that Hawk Larrabee throws, but it's all well that ends well, as the old saying goes.
In just a moment, we'll tell you about next week's story.
I'm gonna ride away from here. I'm gonna ride away from here. Darkness falling, Gabriel's calling. I'm gonna ride away from here.
Roll along
the long Jordan. Roll me on my way.
Rolling on.
Roll along. I'm gonna sing away up there. I'm gonna sing away up there. Heaven's blessing, sweet caressing.
I'm gonna sing away up there. So roll along.
Roll along the long Jordan. Roll me on my way.
Rolling on.
Roll along the long Jordan. Roll me home today.
Each week at this time, we invite you to Ride into the West with Hawk Larrabee, starring Elliot Lewis with Barton Yarborough, produced and directed by William N. Robeson, and written by Arthur E. Orloff, with vocal interludes by Andy Parker and the Plainsmen. They'll be back with us next week when the Hawk is on the wing.
Hawk is on the wing and heading your way with another good story just a week from today. Come a tie,
yippee, 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 come a tie, yippee, yippee. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Hawk Larrabee on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS radio broadcast from December 28, 1948. Actor William Conrad, who portrayed Brannigan in that last broadcast, just a few years later would become Marshal Matt Dillon on Gunsmoke on radio. And the night before that particular episode, he was heard in a bit part on the Lux Radio Theater in a play called Luck of the Irish. This is an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for Have Gun, Will Travel, starring John Daner as Paladin, a CBS episode from the 7th of February, 1960, called The Boss.
There are a lot of people who are ripe to tear you down. All they need is a good enough reason. I'm going to give them that reason.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Hey, boy.
Oh, Mr. Paladin. Oh, I did not see you sitting there. Hey, boy, think you up in Rome playing chess. Why are you down here?
I'm waiting for my carriage.
Carriage? Oh, no. Oh, my, no.
Yes. And where have you been the last 2 hours?
Oh, I get a carriage right away.
No. Wait a minute, hey, boy. It's already been taken care of.
Oh.
It'll be here in a few minutes. Would you mind taking this bag out for me?
Oh, my. Please forgive me, Sir Paladin. Hey, boy, forget you leave this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Well, where have you been?
Hmm? They have trouble up on fourth floor. Missy Wong ask hey boy for help, and I'll take bag out to front court now.
Miss Wong, I knew I shouldn't have asked. Well, we better get out there.
Hey, what the name of this place you go to in Colorado Territory?
Well, at least you remembered it was Colorado. The town's called Alder Bend.
Oh, a nice place?
I don't know. I've never been there before. I'll let you know when I get back.
This is the cold season. What do medical authorities say about the common cold? Doctors tell us there's no known drug which will cure a cold. There are effective medications for treating complications accompanying or following a cold. If you've been taking sensible precautions and still have one cold after another, it's best to see your doctor. And here's another important health tip. When you have a cold and need a laxative, that's the time to rely on Gentle X-Lax. Pleasant-tasting, chocolated X-Lax helps you toward your normal regularity gently overnight. X-Lax gets along with any cold remedies you may be taking, and X-Lax works where nature wants, in the lower tract, not the stomach. Taken at bedtime, X-Lax won't disturb sleep, gives you the closest thing to natural action the next morning. You're well on your way toward your normal regularity without upset or discomfort. So when you have a cold and need a laxative, take X-Lax, the laxative you can use with complete confidence. X-Lax helps you toward your normal regularity gently overnight. X-Lax.
A man named Ira Stokes had asked me to come to Alder Bend. He hadn't disclosed the nature of my assignment, but since he had offered me $1,000, I felt the least I could do was make the trip. It was early in the morning, and the main street was empty as I rode through to the livery stable at the far end of town. Just outside the stable door was a giant of a man, standing with his feet apart and his huge body braced as he methodically lashed out with a whip at a thoroughbred bay tied to the hitch rack. I dismounted and hurried toward him. Stop that! What do you think you're doing? I said you stop it. You hear me?
Look, you, whoever you are, I don't take to no one interfering in my business.
I don't take to anyone beating a horse.
This horse and me are going to get along just fine. As soon as he learns who is boss.
You raise that whip once more and I'll use
Nobody
it on you.
Nobody talks to me like that. I'll raise this.
No, whip. No, you don't. You just give me that whip now. Give it to me. Give it to me. Now. Suppose you just move on.
You're new here, mister.
What's that got to do with it?
This is my town. Nobody pushes me around. I wouldn't plan to stay too long if I was you.
Hey, mister, you know who that is?
I don't much care.
But there's Ira Stokes.
Ira Stokes?
You want to board your horse? Are you going to be here long?
Well, under the circumstances, I don't think so. Even before I received my assignment, it appeared that my business in Alder Bend was finished. However, I felt an obligation, or maybe just a curiosity, to show up at the Stokes Ranch at the appointed time. Just inside the main gate, there was a very pretty woman working in a flower bed. She glanced up at me as I rode by. I told her I was looking for Ira Stokes, and without speaking, she pointed towards the barn and quickly turned away. I rode on through the grounds. Mr. Stokes?
What are you doing here?
You sent for me.
What are you talking about?
My name is Paladin.
You're Paladin?
You had a job for me.
Well, you ain't the man for the job.
Yep. You may be right.
On second thought, maybe you are at that. I'm not one to hold a grudge if a man's useful to me.
And what's the job?
I got a man I want you to kill.
I'm not a hired killer.
Worth $1,000 to me if a certain man wasn't in my way anymore.
Sorry?
$2,000.
Not interested.
$3,000. Look, every man's got his price. What's yours?
Mr. Stokes, why is it worth $3,000 to you to have a man killed?
My method.
Method?
There's one way to tame a horse or a woman or a town. Let them know who's boss.
And this works?
It never fails. And I got my horses and my woman pretty well in line, and excepting for one man, I could have this town where it should be. But since this man won't get smart, I got to get rid of him now. You take the job?
Nope. I'm not a hired killer, Mr. Stokes. Good day, ma'am. Thank you for your directions.
Are you Mr. Paladin?
Yes.
Is he where he can see me?
No, he's on the other side of the barn.
I'm Leah Stokes. Mr. Paladin, don't do it.
Don't do what?
Kill Carl.
Well, I have no intention of killing anyone, but who's Carl?
Carl Nielsen. You see, I know that's why my husband sent for you.
Oh, no. I didn't accept his proposition, Mrs. Stokes.
Oh, that's good. Carl's decent. You must excuse me, Mr. Paladin. Ira mustn't see me talking to you.
Apparently, Leah Stokes had learned who was boss, and she'd more than likely learn it the hard way. I rode back into Alder Bend, and I felt very sorry for the town that, except for one man, was ready to knuckle under to Ira Stokes, and I wished that one man, wherever he was, a long and abundant life. As I started into my hotel, I noticed an office building directly across the street. The lettering on the window read, Carl Nielsen, Attorney at Law. I decided to pay him a visit. You, Mr. Nielsen?
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
My name is Paladin.
Sit down.
Thank you. My card?
Have gun, will travel. Thank you very much. I don't need any right now.
No, I'm not soliciting business. I have a job. And that is, there's a job I could have if I wanted it.
Oh?
Yes. I could make $3,000.
Sounds like a good deal.
Uh-huh. All I'd have to do is kill you.
I see. Ira Stokes.
You don't seem too surprised.
No, I somehow felt this was his next move.
What's behind this, Mr. Nielsen?
Well, Ira had a pretty good thing going until I set up shop here.
Oh?
Alder Bend has gone through a real tough period since the bottom fell out of the cattle market. Most people have barely managed to hang on. But once that railroad gets through, it's going to be different. Property around here is going to be worth something.
Yes, I've seen it happen.
Stokes was grabbing up every piece of land he could lay his dirty hands to, and most of it he fleeced from the people with one crooked trick or another.
How could he get away with it?
These ranchers don't have business heads. They don't know their rights, never read the fine print. Well, I've been reading it for them, giving free legal advice to anybody who wants it.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you get out of it?
Just one thing. Satisfaction. I was raised in Alder Bend. The town deserves a better shake than it'd get if Stokes had the control he's after.
Oh. Well, Nielsen, I'm leaving in the morning. Maybe the next man who comes along will need $3,000 more than I do, so watch it.
Thanks, Paladin.
After dinner, I tried the one saloon open in town. There were two old men at a table in the far corner playing a game of cribbage. I was the only other customer. I had a beer, went back to my hotel, but I couldn't sleep. So I read a copy of Pilgrim's Progress somebody had left on the bedstand. Then I paced the room, looked out of the window. The town was silent, dark, except for the one light that shone from Nielsen's office, and I decided to go see him. As I started across the street, I heard a shot, muffled and indistinct, and then I saw the crouched figure of a man run into the blackness between the buildings.
Hey, you. Stop. Stop, I say. Nielsen. Nielsen. Hey, Carl.
Hey, what's going on in there, mister?
Nielsen, he's been shot.
Hey, why are you running? Come on back here.
If dandruff dulls your hair, leaves your scalp itchy, please listen. You can get rid of annoying dandruff so fast today, no one should suffer any longer. With Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo, unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes. It's the quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. Besides that, using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Simply apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. And while removing dandruff, Fitch can also brighten hair up to 35%. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too, use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today, only 59 cents.
My shot had awakened the town, but there was no time for explanations. I felt sure that when I'd fired, I'd hit the man, but he kept on going. I took note of his direction and knew with time on my side, I could head him off. So I ran to the livery. The stable hand was asleep on a cot in the corner. Hey, you. Hey, come on, wake up.
Huh? Huh? What's that?
Come on, come on, come on. I need my horse.
Huh? What?
My horse. Hurry. I have to get out of here.
Oh, God, what's the matter with you, mister?
Come on. Now, here. Here he is, this stall. Now, where'd you hang my saddle?
What's your hurry?
Will you just move? There's been a shooting. I don't have any time to waste.
Shooting?
Just get my bridle down, will you?
But say, mister...
Never mind. Just... Here. All right, now you get my saddle and hurry, will you? Come on, boy, keep your head down.
All right, stranger. You're covered, so don't give us no trouble.
Sheriff, this man come in here, waking me up, talking about a shooting, and like how he has to get out fast.
Yeah, I know, Charlie. Stand back. We got him now. All right, stranger. Just get them hands up, and don't try anything.
Say, what's the matter with you? Don't you realize that Nielsen's been shot?
Sure, we know.
But the man who shot him will get away.
No, he won't. We got him, and we got him real good. Come on, let's have that gun you done the dirty work with.
Oh, now, look, Sheriff.
Let's go. Here's your breakfast.
Thank you. Sheriff.
Yeah?
I want to talk to you.
What about?
You've got the wrong man locked up.
Look, stranger, I've been in this business 30 years. If I had a nickel for every time somebody behind them bars had told me that, I'd be a rich man.
But what are you charging me with?
Well, it's liable to be murder.
How's Nielsen?
He ain't good.
He must have seen the man who shot him. He could clear me.
Nielsen ain't talking any right now, and it's a chancy thing whether he ever talks again.
Sheriff, the man who shot Nielsen has my bullet in him. I could have trailed him last night.
We caught you dead to rights. You shot him and your getaway didn't work out. People like you all have crossed themselves up sooner or later. So why don't you just shut up and take what's coming to you?
And just what is that?
Well, we'll allow you all your rights by law. Circuit judge due to show up here another month or so.
Another month?
And we'll get up a jury, people here in town. There's one thing you might as well know. Carl was born and raised here, and Alder Bend is mighty proud of him. Folks ain't going to show much mercy to anybody that did him harm.
Oh, this miserable cold.
and my sinuses.
Haven't you heard about Dristan? Dristan decongestant tablets for real relief from colds, misery, and sinus congestion. Dristan is the revolutionary three-layer tablet which for the first time makes it possible to unite certain medically proven ingredients into one fast-acting, uncoated tablet. Dristan not only helps drain all eight sinus cavities, critical areas of colds infection, but circulating through the blood, Dristan's decongestant reaches all congested areas, shrinks all swollen membranes, relieves pressure and pain. An exclusive anti-allergen helps keep breathing passages dry and clear. Pain relievers reduce body aches, fever. Vitamin C helps build body resistance. This is Dristan. Today, Dristan is widely imitated. But the exclusive Dristan formula cannot be duplicated. There's nothing, nothing like Dristan decongestant tablets.
I realized that my only hope was that Nielsen would clear me. But 3 days passed, and he still hadn't regained consciousness. My cell had a high, barred window, and by standing on my cot, I could observe what went on outside. What I saw was disturbing. News of the shooting had spread. Alder Bend had come to life. The street was filled with men in groups, talking, building up hate. I'd seen it before, when I was on the other side of the bars.
Paladin?
Yeah.
Regardless of how I feel about things personally, I got my job to do here. And I don't like what's going on out there.
Yeah. Well, I don't care for it myself.
When men start working themselves up into a lynching, it only takes one little thing to trigger them.
Yeah, I know that.
Sheriff?
Oh, Leah, in here.
Sheriff, I want to talk to you.
Well, all right. We'll go into my office.
No, I want to talk to Mr. Paladin, too.
Mrs. Stokes, I want you to know that I did not shoot Carl Nielsen.
I know you didn't shoot him, Mr. Paladin. Yeah. 3 days I've been knowing this. Knowing Mr. Paladin was in jail for something he didn't do. Knowing Carl Nielsen might die. Hating myself for keeping quiet, but still afraid. And then this morning, Ira... Well, suddenly, I've just had enough. Suddenly, I'm not afraid anymore.
What are you trying to say, Leah?
3 nights ago, Ira came home with a bullet wound in his shoulder. He told me what he'd done. And I guess he was so sure of me, so sure I was too afraid of him to ever say anything... Sheriff, my husband shot Carl Nielsen.
Ira?
Yes. And I've told all those men out there, and now I'm telling you. Ira Stokes has bullied all of us long enough. I guess you'd better go out to the ranch and arrest him.
Well, Leah...
Get busy with those keys, Sheriff. If you're going to arrest Stokes, I want to be there. Hey, Sheriff, that... Looked like the whole 7th Cavalry was following us out of town back there.
All citizens of these parts. I had to discourage them from trailing us all the way. They felt like you. If I was going to arrest Stokes, they wanted to see it.
I guess the town has had enough of Ira, too.
Yeah. Well, might as well check the house first. He's either here or in the barn. What's that?
I don't know. It sounds like Stokes. Yeah, over there by the corral. Come on, let's go.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. Well, that horse is stomping him.
Sheriff. I'll get the horse away. You drag him out.
All right.
No, no, easy, boy. Easy. No, no, no. Whoa, now, whoa. Pretty boy. Easy, boy. Easy, boy. Easy now. Easy. Sheriff?
Yeah, stomped him to death.
Looks like that bay had enough of Ira, too.
Next time you refresh, enjoy a frosty, ice-cold Pepsi-Cola.
Sociability, Charlie.
All right, Kay, how's this? Pepsi is light, refreshes without filling. You like to refresh? Have a Pepsi right now.
We'll offer it to everybody, Charlie.
I will. Enjoy Pepsi at the fountain. It's delicious at home, too. Have one at lunch or with a snack.
Charlie.
At the beach or at dinner. Wherever you go, wherever you're thirsty. Pepsi is there.
It's here, too, in our Be Sociable song.
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
For the weekend, have plenty of Pepsi around. Pick up an extra carton today. CK, I'm sociable.
With Pepsi, everyone is.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Ann Dowd. Featured in the cast were Ann Morrison, Lawrence Dobkin, Tim Graham, Herb Vigran, and Vic Perrin. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.
Gun Will Travel, on Tuned to Yesterday from February 7th, 1960 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.